Okay, so we're now back to our gardening, and we welcome back to Susie, radio gardener Jean Griffin. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Tony. I hope you're coping with all this rain and the wind, but I don't think we need to say too much about that, do we?
No. We just sort of keep out of the way of that stuff, really. But the problem with it is it does cause havoc in the garden.
Absolutely.
And if you're like us, I mean, I know we're going to get to greenhouses a bit later on, but if you're like us, you've got one of these sort of little makeshift greenhouses, when I say little, about 6 foot tall, that was at the back of the house, which is now the front of the garage. It got blown there.
is it in one piece? That's the thing.
Well, it's one of those that goes together with poles and stuff. So the poles are all over the place, but the rest of it, well, it kind of flew away just a while. But we've still got it, but we've got to put it all back together. The only problem is, of course, that if you've got seeds and stuff in those sorts of greenhouses, you're going to lose them. So, I mean, is it too late to replant some of the stuff that would have been in there?
Oh, no. In fact, sometimes it's better to be a little late in planting your seeds or sowing your seeds rather than having them right at the beginning. And it's one of those things that I'm always going on about, that people plant things too early. Really, really too early. Like tomatoes. Tomatoes, they're absolutely fine if you sow them in the middle of March. There's no point doing them in February because light levels are low, and then they start stretching up, you know, to find the light. So I would leave the tomato seeds to, I haven't sown mine yet, and I'm going to sow them probably second week in March.
One of the strange things about that is they're one of the easier things to grow, aren't they, tomatoes?
Sometimes it depends on perhaps your level of expertise. I don't know. I mean, the problem with tomatoes,
let's just say minimal.
One of the things, of course, that we've got a problem with is the good old potato blight, which of course really, really hits the tomatoes hard. But try to grow blight resistant varieties. There's plenty out there on the market, and some of these old fashioned varieties like Moneymaker or Alicante are quite prone to blight, and it depends whether you grow outside or inside as well.
You said potato blight there. That affects tomatoes.
It's the same family.
Okay.
Yeah, tomatoes and potatoes are the same family. So if you have an allotment, or if you've got a garden where people grow potatoes in the next on the next sort of site to you, then you're going to get the blight if they're not very vigilant. I think perhaps it is.
Okay, what signs would we be looking for?
Well, you're looking for black patches, really, on the stems of the potatoes and on the tomatoes.
Oh, right.
It starts off with sort of like a brown spotting on the leaf, and then the stems get done, and then the fruit gets black, and you're on to, you know, a hiding for nothing, to be quite honest, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, we grow them separately anyway. I mean, the tomatoes, as say, had been... We seed them first, and then they go into pots, you know, that catch the sun. The potatoes, of course, go into one of our big beds that we were talking about, raised beds that we were talking about last week.
So I mean, the snag that you've got with that, Tony, is the fact that the spores are airborne. So if your potatoes get them on one side of your garden and you don't notice it, and then the spores will actually come right over the top and attack your tomatoes.
Keep them well apart, but watch out for the blight.
Right. There are ways, of course, which you can protect them, but we can perhaps talk about that some other time, a little bit in the growing season.
Yeah, now, one thing about potatoes, because they're same as the tomatoes, potatoes you can grow any time of the year, and we found, I mean, I don't know if anybody else actually does this, but some of your old potatoes that, you know, have probably gone a bit further than you want for eating, you can just stick them back in the ground, can't you? And you'll get...
You can, but you do run the risk of virus. So it is better, and the recommendation from the RHS and everybody and from the Potato Council is to actually buy new rather than do your old ones, because Scottish potatoes are specially bred for, you know, good yields, etc., etc. And, of course, there's two ways of growing it, which is the traditional method, or nowadays, of course, you can do a no-dig method. Do you know about the no dig method?
No, I'm sure you're going to tell me.
So one of the things, you know, that they sort of advocate at the moment makes gardening easier on heavy clay soil.
Yeah.
So what you do is that you mulch the bed.
Yeah.
With a lot of garden compost, well-rotted manure or whatever you can get hold of. And you just grasp the plant to pull it out. And then all you do is dig your potato in and just earth up around it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got no digging or anything like that because you're planting into light compost. I grow mine in bags, I must admit.
Yeah. I mean, one of the other things when I said about sort of planting old potatoes is I've seen in garden centres these days, you can actually get, apart from the seeds, you can actually get bags of little old potatoes that they actually sell to actually just stick in the ground. I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. It's one's, of course, that they can't get rid of. So they are proper potatoes, but they just can't get rid of them. So they drop the price and put them in one bag.
Yeah, they put them all in a bag and tell you that it's okay to plant them. And these there are ones that I've seen now. We had them before Christmas, actually, that you can get about August, September, shove them in the ground and you've got potatoes for Christmas.
Exactly. They're usually very small at that time.
Ah.
But if you want a good sort of heavy crop or you like baked potatoes, you've got to go for, you know, proper ones.
All right. And when should we actually be planting those? Now?
No. What you should be doing now is, and I'm not going to swear, and you have to do your enunciation properly here, chitting. C-H-I-T-T-I-N-G.
Okay, chitting.
Right?
Yes.
And chitting is when you're actually encouraging the little sprouts or eyes on the potatoes to actually grow.
All right.
And so I chit mine in egg boxes in the conservatory.
All right. Okay.
So you just stick one in an egg box with the pointy bit of the potato standing up if you can, and wait until the sprouts grow and then plant them.
Hmm. Okay. We're going to try some of this stuff and see if it works. I mean, we've tried all sorts of different methods with varying different degrees of success and varying different sizes of potatoes from the very large to the very small.
Yeah.
And you think with the very small ones, have they actually finished growing or not? And it's hard to tell with that.
It is hard to tell. You'll find out if they've finished growing when you've got the horms that are coming right up in the air.
Yeah.
Right? And then you get the flowers. Once the potato starts to flower, that means that it's all right underneath the ground.
Okay, all right.
Aye? But have you noticed what happens after the flowers? You get little things like tomatoes on there.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, they're seeds.
Yeah, we have to try and stop the bugs from getting to these things as well, because we tried sprouts, and some of these plants seem to attract some of the bugs that settle in the soil, getting blown there from all sorts of different directions.
That's right. And, of course, turning over the soil lightly gets rid of some of that, because the birds then come in and, oh, absolutely lovely. A friend of mine was with a robin the other day, just cleaning up the leaves and everything, and the robin was with him the whole time.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, that's potatoes. Now, I've got to mention this because I thought it a little strange. I was out walking the dogs one day last week, and it was a sunny day, and there was someone actually mowing their lawn. And it was February, and I thought, you don't mow your lawn in February. It's not going to do it any good at all. And, of course, it won't grow until the temperature gets above a certain point. Absolutely pointless, wasn't it, really, to actually mow your lawn in February?
No, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And my neighbour, funnily enough, hasn't got a mower at all, and he strims. And it's only a small patch, admittedly, but he was strimming that in February. And I said to him, you'll rue the day, you really will, because particularly with strimming, you can't actually take, the dead stuff off the top of the lawn.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I mean, I know of your love of lawns. I mean, I'm guessing that you'd rather have a vegetable patch than a lawn.
Most positively. And I haven't, in my back garden, I keep all my veg are all on my allotment.
Yeah.
But in the back garden, I've actually got gravel and I grow through gravel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Things seed themselves. Well, Denman's Gardens down at Chichester, Fontwell,
yeah.
Mrs. Robinson was an advocate, as with John Brooks, of growing stuff through gravel. And then what you don't want, you just pull out.
Oh, wow.
So it's really good. Have you ever been down to Denman's, Tony?
No. It's the other side.
Go and have a look.
Other side of Sussex for me, but I must do that. I must do that. We have gravel in our garden, but we've got about 3 inches down. There's a membrane to stop great weeds growing through. I mean that's the bulk of the garden, which is why we had these grow boxes put in, because we did away with the lawn and all the rest of it.
It's the same with me.
Ah, right, okay. But you actually grow through your gravel?
No, it's only what seeds itself. And so I've got some little, quite rare geraniums that have actually seeded. And so I leave those. And all they do is grow into the soil, because there's a certain amount of soil that gets into the gravel anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, the birds drop stuff, and they say I ended up pulling stuff out of the of it last year, because it was basically weeds. You're putting up little weeds. You think, hang on, there's a membrane here, and then you suddenly think, no, this is what's blown in or dropped off the trees, or the birds have dropped, and the seeds and that. The wife has bird feeders in the garden, and that seed gets into the gravel, and sometimes
and
that
goes,
grows as well. Yeah, okay, greenhouses. So we get to that subject of the elusive greenhouse. Certainly in my case it's elusive, but for many people it's very much a summer thing. And I would guess with a greenhouse, select your choice of greenhouse wisely.
Absolutely. I've got a wooden greenhouse, not very big. It's an 8x6, but it really does me for the whole of the summer, because I can sow greens in there at the moment. So even with yours, you know, when you put it back, if you put some lettuce and things in now, particularly the cut and come again ones, you can actually get quite a nice little crop in about, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. But the flimsy ones, like you're talking about, and in actual fact, it'll make you laugh. My neighbour up the road keeps rabbits in the garden, and he's got one of these flimsy ones, like a hoopy thing. And he's given me the hoopy thing because the rabbits have actually eaten through the plastic cover.
Avoid those things like the plague, then, and get a decent one. How do you stop it getting blown down in heavy wind, though?
Well, I've got the two hoop. I don't use the plastic cover at all, I must admit. I use it as shelving, and that's all, because I've got the greenhouse and I've got a conservatory, so I grow in there, really. Anchor it to the ground, and anchor it to the wall, because otherwise you're in for hiding.
Yeah, okay. Well, greenhouses, I think, is an experiment in our household at the moment, so we'll come back to that and review it again, I think, in a month or two's time.
Okay.
The other thing that's about the moment is, well, you mentioned pruning gooseberries and soft fruit.
Yeah.
Explain, what are we talking about?
Right, well, I've got a very a big gooseberry, which I couldn't get at, actually, to be quite honest, to actually pick it. What you've got to look at with a gooseberry, and with any sort of pruning that you do, whether it's roses or whether it's black currants or red currants, because I love white and red currants, they're magic. Anyway, what you've got to do is to get rid of all that old dark brown wood that's in the middle and keep an open centre to it, so that when you go to pick, you can in actual fact pick into the middle of it where they always grow. So I took out a load yesterday, and I've tipped the long straggly bits back, and I've chopped it all up, and I've taken some cuttings, which you can do at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. So I've taken some hardwood cuttings, and they're so easy to do if you've got a good fruiting gooseberry or even blackcurrants. All you do is to put your spade into the ground and pull it towards you, so you make like a slit trench.
Yeah.
And you pop your blooming things in. You know, the bits that you've chopped off, chop it in, and then put the soil back up against the cuttings that you've done. Leave them all through the spring. They'll have rooted until by next September. You can then dig them up and plant them again.
Oh, wow. Ah, that is a handy hint. That really is. We're running a rapidly short of time here, Jean, but okay. I know before I let you go, I know you're a trustee of South and Southeast in Bloom.
Yes, I am, for my sins.
And they've got a competition going on.
We have. It's a yearly one. Most people know about it. We are short of people in Surrey completely, and we would love you to come in to us. Have a look at our website, which is SSEIB.com.
Hang on, SSEIB.com.
Yeah, Sierra, okay. Sierra.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. I don't know the rest. And all our entry forms are on there.
Yeah.
What we're looking for particularly, and if you've got an area where your community gets together, then have a look at the community group. Have a look at the It's Your Neighbourhood. Do you do a little bit for your neighbourhood, and have you got a group of people that sort of go out and volunteer? Or have you got a park in the area? We do Reigate, and we do Red Hill and Dorking. But we need some of these smaller ones to come in and see what we can do. Have a look at it.
Okay.
And our secretary, campaign manager, will come back to you straight away.
Ah, that sounds really rather good, getting the good people of Surrey involved in the South East in Bloom.
Yeah.
And a competition. And I know there's stuff coming up in July, but we'll come back to that at another time. But for now, I think we've actually caught up with ourselves. We're a little bit wiser on knowing not to mow the lawn right now. Certainly don't buy a cheap greenhouse. And we know what to do with potatoes. We know what potato blight is. For now, Jean Griffin, it's been wonderful to talk to you again this morning. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again in a month's time.
Thank you, Tony. I look forward to it.